you look at the players who've done Hall of Famers, beyond Hall of Famers, the best of the best, and now he's part of that list. We thought he got it immediately on that first goal, and I guess it was, you know, an indirect goal for him. But obviously the organization, all the players are extremely happy for him. Here's a guy that works so hard, puts team first all the time, and just to have another accomplishment to his resume, we're very happy for him.
He's just such a humble guy, and he doesn't like to talk about himself. He doesn't like to talk about his accomplishments, but the team seems very excited for him. Like, I guess, does that say something about the team? Because they were excited when Zach got 50. They're excited when he gets 100.
Yeah, no, I've known Connor for a while, coaching him in junior and here, and it's always been the same. He's always been very humble, wanting the attention go to his teammates. And don't get me wrong, he likes the drive in him to be the best all the time, but he gets embarrassed if you flatter him with compliments. He'd rather direct those to his teammates, and again, the team's extremely happy for him and very, very proud of him.
Lost in all the McDavid excitement was a few key performances from some of your depth guys. Warren Fogle's one away 20 goals, which is a big milestone for him, and Dylan Holloway got his first 3-point game of his career. Just some thoughts on some of the performances from those two.
Yeah, I thought everyone played a really good game, and those guys, it's nice to see those guys get rewarded with some offense, some goals and assists. Dylan and Warren were, you know, two of the guys that sometimes you just benefit from being in the right place and maybe not having a great game and getting on the score sheet a few times, but their game all around was really solid, making plays and skating. You know, I thought our team skated really well and played with a lot of speed. So, but again, we're happy that, you know, we're happy that Connor obviously hit that milestone. That's the biggest thing, but it's nice to see those depth guys get some offense too.
Chris, as you kind of round out your roster, round out your game before the playoffs, what do you take from a game like this? Is it tough to really evaluate as a coach?
Yeah, it is. You've got a team that's struggling this year, and you know, at the end, they don't have a lot of push. And, you know, I thought we played a good game, but it's not a game against, you know, first round matchup, whether it's Vegas or LA or whoever that might be. And so, yes, I thought we played really well, but we're playing against a team that's not making the playoffs. And we don't want any false hope.
And a broad strokes question, not really pertaining to this game, but why does the Ekholm-Bouchard pair work so well? How do they do their thing?
Well, I think you just have two extremely good hockey players, and they read off each other. You know, I think the biggest thing any defenseman, I think, doesn't get enough attention is how well you move the puck out of your zone. Most of the times that you get into trouble is not or turning the puck over, not getting into the forward's hands, and then you're in a position to defend. And when they are in a position to defend, they are good at that. But I think what really sets them apart is their puck movement.
The result of this game aside, and opponent and everything, what did you think about the look of those top two lines that you pieced together? And you feel like there's a decent mix there that has some potential?
Well, anytime you score, you know, 9 goals and you're thinking, yeah, it looks great. We're very happy with how the lines rolled. And it seemed like there was chemistry with everybody. But there's also caution on who we were playing. You know, a non-playoff team at the end of their season. And we'll see a little bit more as we go forward. And the Arizona game, Colorado, it gets a lot more competitive. And, you know, and then also Evander coming back in the lineup, whether that's against Arizona or Colorado, you know, we'll have to juggle the lines a little bit. But tonight, after game, you win 9-1, you love it, but you also have to be cautious.
Do you expect to play McDavid, Draisaitl, and company in both of the back-to-backs, or do you envision a scenario where guys maybe only play one of those two?
We're going to wait and see, make that decision tomorrow after Vancouver's game. If Vancouver wins, it's really easy for us to take guys out because those games don't mean anything. We're definitely finishing second place. If they lose, and then you know, that makes it a little more difficult. You know, the goal is to win as many games as possible. We would like to finish first in our division. But, yeah, we have to make those decisions later. So right now we kind of have an idea. After tomorrow night, I think we'll be really making decisions then.
Chris, you worked with David with the Rangers organization. On either side of it, how difficult is that for coaches when you're, you know, watching that and, you know, you still want to sort of see your team do certain things, but you don't want to embarrass the opposition, and they're having a really challenging night like they did tonight.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of credit to David. Dave Quinn's an outstanding coach, a little bit of a mentor for me. I was able to work under him with the affiliation with Hartford in New York. I think he's a great coach, and you know, difficult circumstances being in there where a team has been, you know, not having the same caliber of talent as, you know, he doesn't have the McDavids and the Draisaitls, and again, you're not making the playoffs. It's the end of the season. It's a difficult situation. I've been in that situation in the American League where I've been lost players, and it's the end of the year, and yeah. But, yeah, it's tough.
One more here from Cam. How have you felt about your team's road game here recently and just your thoughts on closing the season out on the road, chance to do that?
That's tough. It feels like we haven't been on the road for a long time. We've been here for quite a few games. But it depends on which road games. You know, it's been up and down. I think of the Dallas game, and I'm thinking, geez, we're not a very good road game or road team, but I'm thinking there's been some really good ones in there. But I think when we get down to it, the importance of the games, our guys have really showed up and played well. And, you know, I think it's good that we finished on the road and built some momentum, because when you enter the playoffs, that's so important to stealing those games on the road, because everyone's typically has a better road record. We're going to have to make sure that when we hit the playoffs that we are playing our best.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.